I'm Daniel Glenn. I'm an architect from the United States. I head up a firm, Seven Directions Architects Planners. We're a native-owned architectural firm specializing in culturally and environmentally responsive design.
And my name is Albert Rafiki. I am Samoan heritage. I live in Auckland, and I'm a senior academic at the Auckland University of Technology. I'm also an architect.
Yeah, architect. And you both have just delivered a public lecture on the significance of indigenous architecture in the modern world. This is something that is new for the layperson like myself and many others. Take us through the importance of indigenous architecture in the modern world.
As we were discussing in that event, I think we come at it from different perspectives from our different indigenous communities. We all share in the colonial heritage where our indigenous communities were greatly and gravely impacted in multiple ways, but including our architectural heritage, so that our tribal communities in the United States have not had the opportunity for more than a century to really have a lot of say over the type of buildings, the type of structures that we would have. And we've been sort of pushed into traditional housing, traditional typologies. So it's very important as part of a cultural revival, as part of a sustainability effort to sustain our cultures, to begin, or I should say, can carry on this relatively recent movement to create new architecture that reflects and celebrates our own very diverse cultures.
Just to add to that, importantly, as you will probably know, we have issues like global warming, environmental problems internationally, and I think a lot of the international community is turning to alternative ways of living and ideas of how to live properly with the environment. That's why the case for indigenous architecture is really important currently. A lot of our communities now live in cities, and there are a lot of problems associated with problems that cities have. And more, in, at least in New Zealand and to some extent Australia that I know of, that they are turning to indigenous model of health models, housing models, and ways to deal with public architecture that reflect conditions that are either sustainable or environments that are healthy for people of indigenous or people who are living in terrible situations. So that's why indigenous architecture is really important in the world today.
Indigenous architecture, I think, is very important in that aspect of if you look at sustainability, environmental concerns and all that. And I was looking at the live stream on Facebook. There was a photographer who actually illustrated that there is indigenous culture everywhere you look in Brisbane, and he could illustrate that. But the challenge that appears, in my view, is how do you reconcile that presence with the current economic power? Because architecture is defined also by the economic power. The designers of new cities, how would you get them to include the indigenous component in their designs?
There are a number of approaches that one can take, and one that I'm strongly advocate is that for a contemporary indigenous architecture to be a political movement, a movement that has to say that it has to run counter to contemporary or modern architecture. That has to happen, and that is already happening in areas like the ecological movement, where indigenous people are very important. We have the case of Standing Rock in the US. And, of course, here in Australia and in New Zealand, we've had continual political, at least people go and march and do camps to assert their, you know, that these problems do happen. And I think architecture, if there is the indigenous, contemporary indigenous architecture, it has to take that view that what they do in the modern world has to run counter and present an alternative view. And that has to start. I don't know if it's going to solve the bigger issues, but I think it has to take a stand.
I think Albert put that well. I do think that, yes, it is largely a political effort. It's also an educational effort. I think that one thing that we've thought about is to consider that cities around the world, what really makes a city unique or a place unique, and certainly its climate and its location, but also its Aboriginal or Native history, which preceded these cities by thousands and thousands of years. And so by embracing that heritage and celebrating it, I believe that cities can really benefit from that idea that we are going to be regional, express that regionality, and really when you're thinking about sustainability, learn from our ancestors who had designs that were very reflective of each place based on the local materials, based on the local climate, and the local cultures to create an architecture that was distinct and reflects that place.